Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sighing, while the foe oppresses me. And what follows, Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 18. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Jaden Vandenberg, who has returned home from the hospital, Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary hospital, and Mrs. Joanne Brillman, who was admitted to the Calgary hospital for examination. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal and unchangeable Lord God, the almighty Creator of the heavens and of all the earth, and who upholdest the same till this very moment by thy divine providence, and then by renewal thou was granted unto us and our dear children, all traveling to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity, another Lord's Day, and then thou was granted unto us and our children another week of grace, but for each and every one of us also a week closer to that final meeting with thee, and then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. Also in this past week, many have been ushered into eternity, and also in this past week, then we have stood on the cemetery with a young father and mother, with the family circle congregation, to bring their 30-day-old son to the grave. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember and wilt thou uphold that young father and mother with their empty arms, with the empty place in their dwelling? Oh, do grant them a place at thy footstool, together with all mourning ones in our midst, where there are many mourners, many that are dressed in black because of the loss of a dear one. Wilt thou uphold and remember them all, and may there be an also a corresponding increase May that increase even be greater, that from these solemn callings it may be used by thy Holy Spirit for the birth of many spiritual mourners that are given to mourn because of their sin, because of their missing for thee. Lord, wilt thou remember all those spiritual mourners? Thou wast granted another week, where thou wast granted many a blessing than we have them been the recipients thereof, and also monuments and testimonies of thy goodness and of thy patient long suffering. And now in this morning hour, then by renewal, then thou dealeth not according to what we deserve, but then by renewal, the doors of thy house have been opened, and we may have the opportunity and the privilege to enter those doors. Ah, Lord, do grant unto the family circles, when there are no empty places in the immediate family circles, that we take it not all for granted, but that we may see thy caring and thy sparing hand therein, thy goodness, that thou wast not taken one away. And to that end, may it also be thy goodness that leadeth to repentance with the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thou knowest how that we have spent a week, whether we have only spent it concerning our temporal needs, our daily bread. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy sanctuary, and may there have been manifold exercises concerning death and eternity, our soul, the condition, our state. And thou hast a people upon the earth where there can be so many questions and so many riddles. Oh, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Thou also knowest of the exercises with the enemy of souls that is the prince of darkness and Lord. He has but a short time. He is a defeated enemy, but he goes round about as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light to deceive and to lead astray. We humbly ask thee that thy word may be richly blessed in this hour, and may it be for the conversion of boys and girls, of our youth, the middle-aged, and the elderly. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy Zion? Oh, wilt thou grant them new exercises and new instruction, that they may have reasons, new reasons, to praise thee afresh and anew? Thou art such a wonder-doing God, and thou hast promised to never forsake the work of thy hands. Wilt thou grant unto thy true children that close and dependent life, bound at the throne of grace, much exercises with the coming of thy kingdom and with the glory of thy name? Because when thou worketh in the hearts of thy people, then it cannot be different, the vehement desire that all people would fear thee and would be saved. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. May there be a rich ingathering on this Sabbath day over the length and the breadth of the earth, that the kingdom of Satan may be disturbed and diminished, and that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be multiplied, that it may be expanded, and that not only in the way of the new birth, but also in the way of fresh exercises in the lives of thy Zion. We remember all the temporal needs. Thou hast granted that a young son may return home from the hospital. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart? Then also in this way, oh, not the first time, then thou wert speaking, my son, give me thy heart, ah, Lord. May the calling be used to that end. Wilt thou remember him together with his parents and family circle? Then by renewal we commend unto thee the handicapped daughter that remains in the hospital. We humbly ask thee, may the means continue to be blessed, so dependent upon thy blessing, and that there may come a time that she may return to her dwelling. Thou knowest all the difficult circumstances. Do continue to uphold father and mother, the family circle. We commend unto thee a mother with a dreaded disease, undergoing treatments, and where there seem to be concerns to that end, has been sent to a larger hospital for examination. Thus far, not discovered anything anew. Wilt thou remember and wilt thou bless? May the means be blessed, and above all make it profitable for her never dying soul. Wilt thou remember her together with her husband and the family circle? Then we commend all sick and afflicted ones unto thee, those undergoing treatments, those that struggle with pain and weariness of the body, different crosses and burdens. It is written in thy holy word concerning thy temple, when that people would come up, that they would experience their own sore and their own grief. But then we also do well to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, and humbly ask thee that all the difficult ways, that they may be sanctified. Then we commend unto thee all those that are healthy, that are strong, and no pain, and able to do all their labors. Ah, Lord, then for them there is the great danger that they forget the days without number, that they are so bound to the earthly things that they forget thee, thy kingdom, their never dying soul, and living here upon the earth as if this is our eternity. Ah, then we humbly ask thee, may it then be thy goodness and thy mercies that may bring them on their rightful place, and that is as an unworthy sinner at thy footstool that needs to be pardoned, also pardoned of all their unthankfulness, ah, Lord. Thou knowest that without the work of the Spirit, Thou can send profound blessings, Thou can come with great tribulations, and the heart shall not be changed, but may it be used together with Thy holy word. We ask Thee in this morning hour that Thou may grant Thy gracious help, open Thy testimony, grant ears to hear and hearts to understand. Wilt Thou rebuke the devil where he also comes up to Thy house with all those wandering thoughts, and, oh Lord, not to blame it all on the devil, necessary that we become the guilty one and be given to ask for mercy. May then the outgoing of the service be for the coming of Thy kingdom and the glory of Thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 224, the sixth stanzas. O God, no longer hold Thy peace, and no longer silent be. Thy enemies lift up their head to fight Thy saints and Thee. And what follows, Psalter 224, the sixth stanzas. this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 6, the verses 13 and 14. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our text words speak of putting on the whole armor of God, with three thoughts in the first place: the command concerning this armor, secondly, the girdle of truth, and in the third place, the breastplate of righteousness. Putting on the whole armor of God. The command concerning this armor, the girdle of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. Beloved congregation, our text words in this morning begin with the word wherefore, referring to the former verses, and then we have heard in the last times of the enemies of the church, that they are great, that the devil is powerful, that he has a purpose. We have heard of the wiles of the devil concerning sin, concerning who God is, concerning the church, concerning our state, and concerning providence. And when we consider those matters, and then we read in the Bible that Satan knoweth that he hath but a short time, and he has much in his hands, but all under the permission of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it can be the danger for us and our children, also for fathers and mothers, that we become so overwhelmed, that we become discouraged. A word is not an easy time wherein we and our children live, and that we even throw up our hands in despair, in discouragement, and that is a great danger. And to that end, we have heard in former verses that the church is exhorted, and then it is needful, young and old, that by the work of the Spirit, that we become a soldier of Jesus Christ indeed, because then we shall fight his battles with a heart full of love concerning his kingdom and concerning his glory. And nevertheless, then we have heard that before our text, then we have heard that separating word, finally, my brethren, and then the exhortation, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to be given to search God's word concerning who the Lord is, and that he is that almighty King, and by his grace that he is gathering his church All we as recruiting soldiers, also in this morning, young and old, have you now asked that you may become a soldier of Jesus Christ, a soldier of the Lord, to fight his battles, that you may be won over, that you may become a willing people in the day of his power, for the love to the King and for his cause. And now we read, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And then it speaks of the armor of God. That is the armor which Christ, in his mediatorial work in the state of his humiliation, has merited for his church, and in the state of exaltation in the way of application, that he grants that armor unto his child. He puts it on them, they may embrace it by the arms of faith. And what else? Then Christ is given, that he gives unto his child, that he also instructs them how to use that armor, how to put it on, because those soldiers oftentimes, they are so weak and they are so faint and they are so ignorant, and it is an armor that has been tested throughout the ages for the welfare of his church. And now when we speak of the armor of God, that is the armor of the captain of salvation. And when we read of wars, when we read of generals, then those generals, then it was necessary that they did not say to the soldiers, go and fight the battles. Although it is true with David, the soldiers thought it would be wisest to remain home because they would try to kill their king. But now was Christ, and then he says unto his soldiers, come. He has fought the battle. He is tabernacled among the children of men. He has gained the victory, and therefore those comes in the Bible. Wherefore, put you on the whole armor of God. Thus that armor, that is not of our own choosing, but that is an armor that has been appointed by God. I read in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling of strongholds. And now there, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. Thus, boys and girls, then you can understand it in this morning. Then with our eyes, then we have to picture a Christian soldier who was very weak of himself and that has many enemies. The enemy shall not rest until the church is destroyed. And many times that soldier can be so faint and so discouraged, and many times afraid that they are not even a real soldier by the free and sovereign grace, then how timid and how fearful they can become. But now the instruction, wherefore put on the whole armor of God. Thus that is not an armor of our own making, of our own choosing, but it is an armor that is appointed by God. And boys and girls, why does Christ now grant unto those soldiers that armor? That is not for show. That is not for the soldier to hang up all his beautiful armor in a showroom. And when you come and visit that soldier in a time of war, that soldier would take you to that room and show all that good armor hung on pegs on the wall, then I think you would ask, but soldier, when it is only hung on the wall and you use it to show it to me, that shall not be profitable, because then when the enemy comes unaware, then you shall not have that armor on, and then you shall surely lose the battle. Thus Christ does not give this armor to show off, but to use it, and it implies that there is a continual battle, and that the battle is sore, and that we need this armor. And then in our text we read, take unto you the whole armor of God. Thus that means, boys and girls, for the soldier not to only take some of that armor and leave the rest hanging on a peg, but the whole armor of God. And I think our boys and girls, they can understand why. Because when the soldier has not the whole armor of God that covers his whole body, then when the enemy takes an arrow, what part of the body shall he shoot at? Then he shall shoot at a part of the body that is not covered with that armor. And therefore the exhortation at the end of the book of Ephesians, after Paul has spoken of justification, of sanctification, oh, think of Ahab. Then in that battle, then we read that a soldier at a venture, because King Ahab has disguised himself, and then an arrow was shot between the joint of the harness. Thus then the arrow found a place where the body of King Ahab was not covered and not protected. Oh, think of Goliath, that giant, boys and girls. Then he also had much armor. But then David, then he has taken that sling with the stone, and then he struck that giant in the forehead where he did not have a shield, and so he was slain. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And that armor, that is for defensive and offensive. In Bible times, then we read of kings of Judah that they did not wait for a time of war, but that in a time of peace, that they have fortified Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, appointed watchmen and so on, that they would be ready when the enemy would attack. And therefore, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, and to be ready to fight the battles of the Lord. In the Revolutionary War between England and the States, then in the year 1775 through 1881, then there were soldiers appointed, and they were called Minutemen. And they were called so, boys and girls, because those soldiers, they had to work also on the farm. But when the sound would come, when the call would come, then they had to be ready in a minute with their armor to go to war. And therefore Paul to the Ephesians, O wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, and then accompanied, that is written at the end of all the armor, the different pieces of armor that the soldier needs, then it needs to be continually accompanied, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It is told of Queen Mary, a very wicked queen of England, that she feared more the prayers of John Knox, and young people, you know who that is the reformer of Scotland, that she feared more the prayers of John Knox than an army of 10,000 soldiers. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And now Christ is captain, then he supplies that armor, and he teaches the soldiers how to use that armor. He has given the example. He encourages those soldiers, because oftentimes they become very faint, very discouraged, that they are given to look more at the enemy than at the King of the Church. And then Christ is captain, because those soldiers, they know what it is to be shot by those arrows. John Bunyan has written much in the book of the Holy War. That is a nice book, Fathers and Mothers, When the Winter Shall Come, especially when your children are a little older, to read together, that those true Christian soldiers, that they know of many a arrow that is shot at them, and that they are sorely wounded. But then Christ is captain, he has given his precious word, and then he pours balm in those wounds, and then he speaks comfortable words unto them. And concerning this armor of God, that enemy, he is unrelenting. Oh, it is true. There are times that the Lord gives his child, his soldiers, a little time of rest. The captain says to the devil, now you must give my child a little time of refreshment and rest. But they are only short times. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. Then we read in Luke 4, verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And now we read in these text words that you be able to stand. We read two times the word stand and one times the word withstand. Thus that implies that the battle is real, that it is not imaginary, that it is a great warfare has begun in Genesis 3 verse 15 between the two kingdoms, and it continues and shall only increase, shall become more difficult for the church to live upon the earth. Read Mark Revelation 13 concerning the mark of the beast. And nevertheless, for the church, the victory shall be sure. Thus to stand, that means not for a soldier. Of course, those soldiers, they also need their rest. but it implies not to lie down, not to sit, but to be an active duty, to be able to stand. And now for these soldiers, then they are called to fight. And we have said defensive and also offensive. Sometime it was necessary for the children of Israel to attack the enemy when they were building up their weapons, if we think of the history of the world before World War Number Two. Then Germany was very busy gathering weapons and training soldiers. Winston Churchill of England has warned the world, but it has fallen on deaf ears. And to that end, when Germany has attacked, then the world, also Europe, was unprepared. Wherefore put you on the whole armor of God. Then those soldiers, they of course must not go to the enemy out of curiosity or to show off their armor. The church must be a separated people, as Paul has written to the Corinthians, does not mean that we are not part of the world, must also be involved in the world, also politically a blessing, when our men may be involved also in that respect, that a Christian voice may be heard, but not unnecessarily to go to the world to intermingle with them, because then we shall come in great trouble. We have the example in the Bible of Samson, a Nazarite, but he has went to see the daughters of the Philistines, and then young people, we know the fruit and the result, the bitter troubles that Samson has come in. Thus that means that for the church, that we need to be separated. 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, then boys and girls, then you can remember that we have mentioned a coyote and a trapper that sets his traps and snares with baits that the coyote desires. How has it been in the past week? Have we tried to nibble at that bait? A little, maybe not too much. Maybe even in this morning, with an accusing conscience, what we have done in the past week. But a farmer, it also happens, when a farmer, let's say boys and girls, that he has sheep, and that the farmer realizes that there is a coyote that comes at night, never seen him, but that in the morning, that a sheep or lamb has been killed and eaten, then such a farmer, then he can go over his farm and find the pathway where that coyote comes, and that he sends a trap not with bait, but that he hides it, he covers it with some grass, hoping that the coyote will come on that pathway and that he may be caught. So that is also instruction for all of us. When we go into the world, places of sin and of vanity, and in our day we know it, not only physically, but also in the way of technology, those are places where the devil especially sets his traps, covers them over, maybe many promises, but sooner or later we shall be entrapped, maybe even addicted with all those temptations. Thus then the instruction, then we must not come in worldly places. Separation, that is the strength of the church. And now if a trapper and a farmer cannot catch the coyote, what shall he then try to do? Strike it with bait. But the coyote has been taught by father and mother coyote, boys and girls, has listened, remembered, not forgot. I hope that may be you. What you may be taught by father and mother in the church, another school year hopes to begin. Thus a coyote that has remembered very vividly what father and mother has taught, that when there is such a bait, not to even touch that bait, must run away from it, and not to come on the property where there is a trapper. What else can such a farmer try to do? Oh, then such a farmer, if he can now make that coyote eat something that makes that coyote very drowsy, then that animal shall be easier to cut. Then maybe easier to catch him in a trap, or such a drowsy coyote shall not be so alert. It shall be easier to shoot such a coyote. The devil still does the same in our day. To try to make people, young and old, that have been brought up under the truth, that come to church, to feed them maybe a little poison, that they become very drowsy, that they do not give so much heed to what they have been instructed in, to forget it, that even in church they cannot listen so well because they have become so drowsy. Do we maybe see our picture? That the devil tries to present before us music. How many young people there have that was the beginning of losing a tender conscience, following the world, and even leaving the church to begin to listen to worldly songs or bad pictures. We do not have to multiply it out. Thus then the instruction, oh separation. Can understand it, boys and girls. We shall make it simple. With that coyote, then such a coyote, father and mother coyote, do their very best to train their pups. The danger of mankind, because mankind is their enemy, shall try to kill them, and that they have to refrain. How good the bait, how enticing the bait is, they must refrain, because sooner or later they shall be caught. And to stay away from the property of such a farmer, to have that pathway where he may set his traps, but also to even eat anything, even a little, that makes us drowsy, not so attentive, that our conscience, we lose our tender conscience that we feel it, becomes hardened, things that frightened us at first can even be boys and girls when they are young, when they hear of these things that they tell father and mother that they shall never do it. But when they become older, how old you may say, maybe 13, 14, 16, can even be a little older, that the devil, that he sprinkles a little poison, a little food on our pathway. We know it's wrong, but a little's not going to hurt. And that is that coyote, we become drowsier and drowsier, and that it seems that not so much makes an impression, that our conscience become hardened. What we formerly feared is not so frightful, and that is the beginning of our downfall. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Let us first sing. Psalter 31, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. O thou that ever savest those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid. And what follows, Psalter 31, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
When we consider the time that we live in, the many evils and the many temptations, then what a privilege and what a blessing it is that we and our children, that there may be those places where we feel so much sheltered. And then in the first place, Christian homes, where love may abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, where God's word may have a special and a central place. Then a blessing for children when they may feel it, that in their home, that it is a place of shelter, that it is a place of safety. Also in church, where law and gospel may be proclaimed, and also when in this coming week another season of education begins, that it may be as a place of safety, but also a place of instruction. How much of the world, when they have departed from God's word, what a misery and what a trouble, and the devil with all his wiles, many times it even seems that he has free play in the midst of the world. When we have mentioned that coyote boys and girls, when a coyote can become dopey and drowsy, that such a coyote shall not fear the enemy, shall become bold and do foolish things. I hope not, boys and girls, but when we see a drunken man, that is such a coyote, and maybe do not have to go so far in Lethbridge than so many, perhaps because of a troubled home, a home where there was no love, where there was strife, where they have sought it on the streets and started to use drugs. Then sometime even in Lethbridge, then we see such. To that end, then it is so necessary what Christ has said in Mark 13, verse 37, that we are given to watch and given to pray. And now when we think of a soldier, then boys and girls, then we think of a battlefield, of a war. But now we are called upon also, boys and girls, students, in another year of instruction, then we need to be such soldiers that we are on our guard, and that we may learn things with the help of the Lord. Then we need to persevere, that are profitable for the time, and above all for the welfare of our never-dying soul. And then we think of the mothers in the home, in the kitchen, and they need to be such a soldier with their dear children in the home, praying mothers, then fathers, husbands, wherever they are called to be, at work, construction, on the farm, in the truck, then we are called to be such soldiers, because the enemy is so clever and he is so sly, has already slain his millions and billions, and to that end the necessity. And it is true in our text words, then it concerns the true child of God that has received the work of grace glorified in his heart. But this text word has instruction concerning the church in its external manifestation. And then we need, because our boys and girls can understand, if you have an army and there is only some of the army that is armed and that is given to fight the battles, then it shall not go well. Then we need the whole army that stands together, shoulder to shoulder. Of course, it is much worse and much dangerous when in that army that there are those traitors that commune with the enemy, perhaps reveal secrets, tell them about their army, then certainly such an army will fall to the enemy. Thus then the necessity that we and our children stand shoulder to shoulder concerning the old truth and the old ways. And now Paul, then he continues in these verses to describe the armor of the true Christian. And then he mentions different pieces, thus boys and girls, then you must try to pay attention to picture in your mind how that the Christian soldier must be clothed. And now in the second place, then it speaks of the girdle of truth. And then maybe boys and girls, then you say, what is now a girdle? That is a belt around the waist. And now when Paul, when he describes the armor of the soldier, then it is not an order of importance, because in verse 16, that is toward the end, above all take in the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But then Paul is given to describe the armor of the soldier in the order that he would put it on. Because boys and girls, think along. If we now have this soldier and that he would put all his armor on and he would first take a sword in the one hand and a shield in the other hand, then you can understand that such a soldier could not put on his belt, that he could not put on his helmet. And to that end, Paul has described the soldier in the approximate order that he would put it on. And now in the first place, then Paul is given to speak concerning this armor. And of course, the purpose in verse 13, that ye may be able to withstand. Thus let us not become too discouraged. It is true not in our own strength. Therefore, Paul has begun, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is only through the Lord that we can withstand and even conquer. But the Lord has appointed means, and he has also appointed and given this armor to that end, that ye may be able to stand, not in our strength. Jehoshaphat has declared with those three kings, those three enemies, Lord, we have no might against these enemies, but our eyes are upon thee. And to that end, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Thus that implies that the soldier must always be ready, not wait to put that armor on till the enemy comes to his door, but must be continually on the watch, because we have heard of the wiles of the devil, that ye may be able to withstand, because those soldiers, they can become so faint. Many arrows, loss of blood. And when they see the greatness of the enemy, and now each time by renewal it seems they have no strength, maybe even after made many a promise, and that they fall, and the enemy comes with that bait, and the enemy knows what bait we like. For the one it is this, the other it is this. It is the same in the time of war, that the enemy, boys and girls, you can understand it. You have a city, and there are many gates, and at all the gates there are soldiers and watchmen. But if there would be one gate where there is no watchman, and the enemy would know it, then the enemy would come through that gate. Or if the enemy knew that there was a gate where there was a soldier that was very fearful and very faint and very timid and not so brave, that the enemy would try to come through that gate. And so the devil works upon the imaginations and the passions of the children of men, and then we can be so faint. But the text word does say that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And now the first item that Paul speaks of, that is the girdle, that is a belt. And boys and girls, a belt goes around the back, and that is a very important part of our body. When we are young, then we can jump and we can play and we can fall. No pain and no aches. What a blessing that is, children and young people. May we be given to use our strength and our health to seek the Lord early. But maybe a father, a mother, a grandfather, a grandmother that has a terribly sore back, then such a one has difficulty even walking and moving. Thus a back is a very important part of the body. The soldier needs a good back to fight the battles of the Lord, and then it can even be with someone that has a very weak back, that they put on a very wide belt to strengthen that back. And now the Apostle Paul, concerning that soldier, is given to speak of the belt, the girdle of truth. Thus he begins speaking of the truth as it is declared in the Holy Scriptures for us and our children. There is much falsehood. There can be much sincerity. There can even be a very strong faith in false religions. Think of those pilots that in September 11, 2001, when they have guided their plane into those twin towers where there was promised unto them that they would receive a special place in heaven. Thus in false religions, deceitful religion, there can be a seemingly very strong faith in falsehood. But now the Apostle Paul is given to stress the importance of the truth, and to that end, the necessity for us and our children, as I read in John 5, verse 39, that we search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, where they testify of me. The Christian soldier. And now the most important question. How is it with us? Privilege, we repeat it. We all have our duty, our responsibility in the home, in the church, in the school, to stand united for the truth, that in that way, even outwardly, that we are such a Christian soldier, respect for God's holy word and an impression that this is the truth. But now our text words, we have heard that they begin, brethren. That is the family of God. Oh, may it please the King, my unconverted fellow travelers. Oh, beg the Lord continually that the King may recruit you as a soldier to fight his battles against that triple-headed enemy. And boys and girls, when do you think is the best time to be recruited? That is when we are very young, very small. And when when the Lord spares us, that we can be a soldier for many years. And then a necessity that we have the girdle of truth, that we are converted as the Lord converteth all his people, all people of God. What an instruction, much to make ashamed, but may it also be for encouragement. We hope to continue when the Lord granteth it, the coming Lord's Day or the Lord's Day after. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may there have been those among young and old that have been filled with a holy jealousy, that even in their bench that they have begged of thee, oh Lord, may it now please thee by word and spirit to enroll me under the banner of King Jesus, that I may become a soldier of thee and to fight thy battles and that my soul may be saved. Lord, then we need the girdle of truth. We need to be converted, as thou converteth all thy people. And now, Lord, thou knowest thy soldiers, how weak, how faint, how troubled, and how weary they can become, even with the fear that they are not a true soldier. Ah, Lord, may we be found more a praying and a begging people. Graciously watch over us on the Sabbath day. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 63, the four stanzas. My griefs of heart abound. Relieve my sore distress. See my affliction and my pain. Forgive my sinfulness. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Baptism registration is scheduled for Friday, September 5 at 7:30 p.m. The first wedding announcement of Jaden Leon Vandenberg and Charity Jenna Middlecoop. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 63, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.